The latest lawsuit facing the state of Idaho over its continued enforcement of a law deemed unconstitutional nearly 20 years ago has deep roots here and across the country. The ACLU of Idaho filed the suit last year on behalf of two men convicted under the law, or one similar to it in another state, who want to scrub it from the state code entirely. In the first story of a two-part series, James Dawson traces the long history of these so-called crimes against nature laws. And a warning for listeners, this story covers sexual topics.
As of December, 41 people were forced to register as a sex offender in Idaho for violating the state's crime against nature law. That means they're restricted on where they can live, what jobs they can hold, and all their information is available for the public to see. Idaho's law criminalizes anal and oral sex, historically including consensual sex, since even before the state's founding. From its first days as a territory, legislators in Lewiston in 1863 and 1864 adopted the area's first set of criminal laws, including an infamous crimes against nature statute. Penalties included at least 5 years in prison, up to life.
They were basing it largely off of the common law, and that was an English transport. And by common law, what we mean is judge-made law.
That's Sam Newton, a law professor and historian at University of Idaho College of Law. Charles Altwater, who had been in and out of the state penitentiary in Boise for various crimes, was among the first men who challenged the statute. He'd been imprisoned on a sodomy conviction in Shoshone County in 1915, but he argued he'd only engaged in oral sex, which wasn't specifically defined in Idaho code or typically included under the traditional definition of sodomy. The state Supreme Court ruled against Altwater unanimously in a scathing decision, calling it, quote, one of the most heinous and unspeakable forms of crime. Here's Newton reading more from that opinion.
We feel disposed to follow the more modern decisions, which we think are better reasoned and in keeping with the progress of civilization.
The origin of these American laws starts nearly 500 years ago, when the Reformation Parliament under English King Henry VIII passed the Buggery Act of 1533. It made anal sex and bestiality punishable by death, which later inspired similar laws as the American colonies began taking shape. These laws eventually were used to punish the LGBTQ community, but they weren't originally designed that way. It was to prevent sex outside of marriage. That's according to William Eskridge, a Yale law professor whose book Dishonorable Passions chronicles the history of American sodomy laws.
That's what sodomy laws were all about, the religious and secular idea that if you wanted to have sexual pleasure, it had to be conjugality within a traditional marriage.
According to Eskridge, relatively few people were actually prosecuted under these laws if the sex was consensual, because there were generally no other witnesses.
They were of the same genre as anti-fornication laws.
They were mostly used as secondary laws to prosecute child molesters and rapists. After the colonies won their independence from Great Britain and began shaping their own societies, nearly all of them revoked the death penalty for sodomy until the early 19th century, according to Eskridge. Again, enforcement during this time wasn't very common. But Eskridge says all of that started to change as attitudes shifted towards condemning consenting gay adults.
After the 1890s, you know, it starts becoming inverts, later homosexuals, degenerates, and they start being reported that way.
After Charles Altwater, the Idaho man who lost his appeal in 1916, further cases of people being convicted under Idaho's sodomy law continued. Then in the 50s came the Boys of Boise scandal that convicted some men of consensual sex with adults alongside those convicted of sexually assaulting teenagers. The incident alone and its fallout deserves its own story. But the scandal didn't happen in a vacuum. The 1950s saw the persecution of the LGBTQ community in the U.S. kick into high gear as the Cold War iced over the country. The federal government, whipped into a frenzy by Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy and others, demanded agencies purge and blackball those even accused of being gay, along with rooting out communists. McCarthy loyalists, including Idaho Senator Herman Welker, threatened to use the arrest of Wyoming Senator Lester Hunt's son for soliciting an undercover male officer against him. Hunt later committed suicide in his office in 1954. Former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, who eventually occupied Hunt's seat, blasted the threats in the Yahoo News documentary, Uniquely Nasty, the U.S. Government's War on Gays.
It's just a couple of sons of bitches doing evil things like out of Macbeth.
But there was a glimmer of hope for this bleak period in the lives of the LGBTQ community, even though it would take nearly another 50 years before it would come to pass. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
In part two of this series, we'll uncover how these laws have evolved in modern times and how their effects still ripple through society today.